And you could tell they were all Puerto Ricans because of their mustaches.
Yeah, the Viltrumite mustaches.
The Viltrumite. Inconsistent. This next topic, I don't think most Puerto Ricans know about. And I wonder why. Is it because we're not passing this information along? Because the idea of blaming the school system is played out.
Yeah.
Especially now with LLMs and, you know, the information at our fingertips. So I feel like is it in, on the individual, the parents of Puerto Ricans?
I blame the parents always.
Always blame the parents. Got it.
Like 90% of everything.
90% of the time blame the parents. Got it. But you know what I mean? Like, bro, like,
I'm just trying to think. In Puerto Rico, maybe they knew about it. Maybe they didn't. Maybe it was just like, oh, yeah, they fought in the wars. That's what we do. We all fight in wars. You know what I'm saying? My uncle was in the military over there in Puerto Rico.
So my I have no idea what they did. Yeah, no idea either.
I have no idea what they did. You know? So when they came to the States, they were like, yeah, we fought in wars. I don't understand about what. That's what we do. That's what everybody did. They drafted us.
Right. So, you know, when I hear veterans, American veterans, there's, and especially when there's a lineage, like my father did this, my great-grandfather did this, there's the sense of pride of, you know.
Yeah, but they're proud of America.
Let me finish.
Yeah, yeah.
So maybe that's the disconnect, that they're proud that they're American, America, defending, look, my great-grandfather, so I decided my father, and now I'm doing it. Whereas Puerto Ricans is like, nah, we got stuck in there, we stuck together, and we just finished it, but I didn't want my kids doing it, so I'm not going to tell them about this life.
Yeah, yeah. They took us and forced us to do this thing, but we stood together as a group because we knew we're from the same place.
Yeah, we're the same.
So we fought for ourselves there.
And we weren't fighting for America.
We followed the orders, and we fought for ourselves.
That makes a lot of sense as to why our generation, that the notion of us serving in the U.S. military isn't passed down or really explained or emphasized.
Well, not to get racial, but white people join military for pride. People of color join military for money, right?
Okay.
And so they have when they're done with their service, they're like, it was, I fought for my country and this for my country. Well, we're like, I got my benefits. I got a house. You know what I'm saying? I was able to pay for my education. You know? That's what most people that I talk to that went to the military, well, they start with, yeah, they pay for me to go to school. And I got a house. And I get a pension.
Yeah.
They never start with, I'm an American. I fought for my country. I mean, I'm not saying they don't exist. But I'm just saying most people that I know that go to the military is like that. I did it for the money.
Yeah.
That's what we do it for.
Now. It's
the way out. I mean, even when we were younger, that was one of the things. You don't got prospects? Join the military.
I don't know if that could be said, though, during the early, you know,
1900s. No, that's what I'm saying. For them, they got drafted. They don't have a choice.
Right. It was the best life.
Yeah. I mean, they didn't have a choice. They didn't have an option.
Right.
They were forced into it. Yeah. You get drafted for World War I, World War II, Vietnam, you got drafted. Korean War, you got drafted.
And these Borinqueños were the only ones that were segregated based on race, right?
No, they have other ones that were, a lot of black people got segregated by race. But that's the real minorities in America was blacks, Hispanics. That was it.
That's it.
So they segregated. They put, remember, there was a whole freaking thing. Same thing with Borinqueños. There was a whole regiment of just black soldiers.
Black soldiers. Yeah. Civil War.
Obviously Civil War.
That
push
them
to the
war.
Front.
Go first.
Yeah. Actually, that's what they did with the Borinqueños. They put them first.
Put them in the front.
Clear, and we'll come behind you, and we'll finish the job.
Well, yeah. And they were known for that.
Yeah.
So
one of the, we just heard one of the most significant battles was that they cleared.
And that was
area for the soldiers to come in and take over the town.
That was the Korean War, right?
The Korean War, yeah.
They rolled up. They put their, what are the knife called?
The bayonet.
It ran up a hill with the bayonets. Like, God, where are we all?
And I remember reading.
They ran up in there.
A thing where they, even with, Puerto Ricans look a lot like different colors, different shades.
Yeah.
But we're Spanish, so we speak a certain way. So they knew right away when the soldiers speak to you, oh, you're one of them. Like, there's no question. You may kind of look like us,
No, you're wearing the outfit.
But you're not. You're one of them. You know what I'm saying? So they made fun of them because of that, because of the way they spoke.
But they gained respect after what they did.
Yeah. So imagine them in the battlefield having to use the radio in English but talk to each other in Spanish.
What would that sound like? Roger, 4-9-3, tango.
It sounds like when you're in the car service.
Right.
Con uno, con dos.
What he said?
So how was your day?
It's Roger, 2-9 tango. Report, repeat.
And then you're yelling at your teammate, mira, dijo esto. And then he's telling him in Spanish. And then he's telling you, talking to the walkie-talkie in English for the rest of the day.
Wild.
You know? That's crazy to think that, like, in an intense battle, you got to switch.
Right. And the dialects or the arrangement of words between Spanish and English is naturally dyslexic.
Yeah.
You know, you start with the ending of what you're trying to say, and then the vowels and the adjectives, everything's just flipped upside down. So having to instantly change that information, it's not a surprise that that there was a battle where they were where they failed miserably, and they were, a lot of them were sentenced for dishonorable discharge.
Yeah.
Later on, they were relieved of that after investigating. And it's yet still undetermined whether or not it was they abandoned the orders or...
No, what I read was this, and they were kind of what we just said, was kind of like,
right,
they send them in first. So they go in there first, and they're like, you cannot send us in there like this. We're getting destroyed. So we have to back up to regroup. And they're like, oh, you abandoned your thing. They're like, you're sending us there to die.
Yeah, what I understood was it was a miscommunication. They send them in there first, but the orders that they were receiving was conflicting, and they were getting murdered, so they retreated. Yeah. And because of that, they were reprimanded for that. Yeah. Some of them faced, you know, charges, discommodation. But later on, Congress got together and passed a bill and hooked these guys up. Giving them like a prestigious Congressional Medal of Honor. And this happened in 2016. They started the bill in 2014, and Obama signed it off. Once it passed Congress, Obama signed it off in 2016, and then 2014. And then later on, they came up with this is not the same thing. They came up with the Congressional Medal of Honor.
So the Borinqueneers, obviously, they're Puerto Ricans. Puerto Rico first became a territory during the Spanish-American War, right? When America talked crap about the European powers, saying, you guys are taking over other countries, and that's what you did to us, right? You came here, you're imposing your ideologies to us as a nation, and we don't want that, so we're going to fight back and become independent. And then, once America gets enough power, what they do, they say, all right, now it's our turn to be imperialist. Now let us take over some countries. And they fought Spain and took over Puerto Rico, Philippines, Guam, and Samoa, the American Samoa Islands. So they took over all these islands from Spain, right? Or they took over Cuba. That's another one they took over. And they took over these islands in the Spanish-American War. And when Puerto Rico got roped into this, America was like, all right, now from these soldiers, from these people, we're going to form a fighting regiment. And that's how the Puerto Rico was born.
In what year?
1899.
Okay.
And then, where is it at? Oh, Borinqueneers, where that comes from. What that sounds weird. Some people don't know this, obviously. But Boricua is, so the island of Puerto Rico, before it was called Puerto Rico, the natives called it Borinquen. So the people that live there call themselves Boricuas. So the Borinqueneers are just a play on those words. You know what I'm saying? Like, we're soldiers, we're Puerto Rican soldiers, we're Borinquen soldiers. They served in World War I, World War II, and the Korean War. But most of their significant battles was in the Korean War.
So this image that's on the screen,
it's not on the screen.
This was a political... This was right when the Borinquen were created. There's a lot of history behind it. It was the current president. Who was the president when they were...
When they were formed?
Yeah.
I don't know. 1899. McKinley.
McKinley. Anyways, this emphasizes that, and the need for soldiers, giving rise to the buccaneers, like you just said. I wish I could zoom in to show you some of the images that are there. But if you were able to zoom in, you can see the list and right here it says Puerto Ricans. As part of that draft that they came up with, yeah, in putting together this regiment in the army to go ahead and fight. So, and then this image here is what I was telling you, the Congressional Medal of Honor. Then they came up with this coin, and you have the Borinqueneers, the 56th Infantry Regiment, serving in World War I, World War II, and the Korean War, founding in 1899 through 1956. And there they are running up the hill in that battle, Thunderstorm, with their bayonets running up the hill in Korea, being the men in front line.
And that's the one where they fought the Chinese, right?
Yeah, later on, the Chinese came through, and they lost a lot of men because the Puerto Ricans weren't used to the cold.
Yeah.
And the cold, we're talking about, like, negative 30 degrees, yeah, with wind chills. Like, people were, like, losing their ears, their fingers. They're like, está muy frío para esto. Yo no estoy para esto. ¿Y este frío? ¿Cuándo se cae?
You gotta play a clip because I don't know if people understand.
Ay, mami, te estoy llamando para que me pongan oraciones, mujer. Anoche cayó una nevada y siento como que el espíritu de mi cuerpo se está yendo.
It's just the way, you know, the way we communicate, which must have sucked. Can you imagine, you know, them being from the Caribbean and then going in and...
For generations.
So when they first started the battle, I'm assuming, not looking into it too much, but I'm assuming that when they went in with the bayonets and took over on the front line, that they were, you know, praised for going in and getting the job done and setting it up for the other, you know, regiments to go in and take over.
Yeah.
I'm assuming it was warm.
That day?
Yeah, no, not that day. Well, maybe they went in during the spring or summer seasons. I have no idea. Is it always cold in Korea?
I don't know.
No, I don't think so. So,
but you can imagine they showed up. And it might have been the first time they ever seen snow.
Oh, my gosh.
Probably. They showed up. They're like, whoa, look at this.
Yeah, definitely. right, and then to go from, you know, that to butt cold, losing fingers, losing lives, engines wouldn't turn over, yeah, right? Getting a fire started to heat up your frozen ration food was probably difficult, yeah, enough.
There was a story of them getting overwhelmed, and there was one soldier that got shot and fought. He was throwing grenades and kept the other soldiers, the enemies, from advancing long enough that the reinforcements came and helped.
That's wild.
Yeah. And he was just pretty much by himself up there, you know?
Wild.
I got his name here somewhere, and I'll do a disservice if I don't find it.
So, yeah, we got a coin out of it, which was nice. It's just...
Oh, Juan E. Negron, holding off the enemy attacks.
Holding off the enemy attacks.
But, it's, you know, it's one of those things where, regardless of who you're fighting for, you're still fighting for your life. You know what I mean? So you're going to go in there. It's just you guys. You're all from different parts of Puerto Rico.
Right.
And they're like, all right, we got to fight for this country against that country. But at the end of the day, we need to protect ourselves.
And it goes to that point where if it were just Puerto Rico, we're fighting for Puerto Ricans and the island, it would be something we would pass down to generation to generation.
Yeah.
But because we were fighting for another country that we didn't necessarily associate ourselves with, it's not something I want to tell my kids about.
Especially because of the relationship between Puerto Rico and America from the beginning was a hostile takeover. Because there was a point in history where Spain told Puerto Rico, we're going to give you guys more autonomy to function on your own. Because Spain was struggling financially. And Puerto Rico was like, yo, we're dying over here. And Spain was like, we're going to let you guys function individual. And we're going to give you guys more and more autonomy so you guys can kind of function on your own. And then America came in right before that happened and was like, ours, we'll take that, you know?
Literally.
And then there was a group of, we should probably do another episode about this, but there was a group of people called the Macheteros that they would fight against Spain and then even fought against America with nothing but machetes, because they were like, we don't want to be taken over, we want independence, you know. But that's a story that we should talk about, Puerto Rican independence and things like that, you know.
And as far as that's concerned, once they stopped in 1956, there was another regiment that was just dedicated to mostly one particular race, right?
Yeah, they had a lot of that. Yeah,
because it was which president that said enough of this?
I don't know. Segregation?
Yeah.
George Washington.
No.
I don't know.
No, it was a particular president that says that, and that's when they came pretty much to an end in 1956. Look it up. That president said no longer can there be segregation in the U.S. military. And I forgot which president it is.
His name is Eisenhower.
There you go.
A Republican.
I said enough of this.
Negroes die with us.
Together. Which is crazy, because you would think that there was an efficiency to keeping those Puerto Ricans together, right? There was a camaraderie. There was a relationship.
I wonder if it's one of these things.
I got your back for sure. Yeah. You heard?
I wonder if it's that.
That
they looked at them like they're fighting on their own. We need to integrate them with us so they can fight like we fight, for the reasons we fight for, not for the reasons that they fight for. Oh. So we need to integrate ourselves better.
You're saying that was part of the reason to disband that?
Yeah.
That regiment.
Like, yeah, technically they're their own group, but they're actually functioning like their own army, and we can't have that.
Because in the beginning, they were really like disrespected, right? They weren't allowed to be in the front lines in the beginning. Did you know that, right?
Oh, no.
So in the beginning, they were served, they were drafted in, they were taken. Like, you guys are the 65th Regiment, or not even. You guys are, you know, enlisted. We're drafting you guys. Not enlisted. We're drafting you guys. And what they did in the beginning, they first served as security and as trainers. They sent them to Africa, I think South Africa.
Yeah.
And they had them train the military recruits on how to fight. Can you imagine getting drafted, you don't have a choice, and then your job is to be security or to train the other individuals that are coming to fight in a war where you never fought in a war. You have no experience in.
And then I teach them how to fight.
Teach them how to fight.
And they're like, they're dumber than me.
And I barely could understand them with their accent.
Yeah, word, right? We're both speaking a language we don't normally speak. And we got to talk to each other.
And I got to be your what is it, staff sergeant? Your you know, whatever that position
is. It's like
called.
I went to, when I went to the Dominican Republic, the people that work there obviously speak Spanish and English.
Yeah.
And then there was a Chinese couple that were talking to each other in Chinese. And they're both talking to each other in broken English. And I'm watching this go down. And I'm like, they still barely understand each other. But they're able to talk enough to communicate what they want, you know?
That's hilarious.
Yeah.
So the early history, shortly after the United States gained control of Puerto Rico's following the Spanish-American War, it began as the Battalion of Puerto Rican Volunteers and was officially inaugurated in the U.S. military in 1908. In World War One, the regiment was primarily tasked with defending the home island and patrolling the critical Panama Canal zone. In 1950, they actually fired what is considered by some to be the first American shot of World War One against a German supply ship attempting to flee San Juan's Bay. So apparently the Puerto Ricans that were drafted were the first ones to shoot at the Germans.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, that's what this says. In World War One, this regiment was primarily tasked with defending the home island and patrolling the critical Panama Canal zone. In 1950, they actually fired what is considered by some to be the first American shot of World War One against the German supply ship attempting to flee the San Juan Bay. In World War Two, reflecting the radical segregation and prejudice of the era, military leadership initially kept the regiment away from the front line, assigning them to security and training roles in North Africa. However, by 1944, they deployed to Europe, seeing action in France and Germany. They earned a Distinguished Service Cross and multiple Purple Hearts. In the Korean War, their finest and darkest hour, the Borinqueneers truly commanded their legendary status during the Korean War. When the conflict erupted, an unprepared U.S. military needed battle-ready troops, and the 65th were sent to the front lines.
This is during World War II?
This is during World War II. And this is where they had their high rolls, but their low moments was when it got really cold. There was a battle that they went into, and it just got really bad with the communication, and a lot of them were disciplined because of that, which is really sucks.
Yeah. The Battle of Outpost Kelly took place in 1952 and became one of the most difficult and controversial battles involving the Borinqueneers. Outpost Kelly was a strategically important hill surrounded by enemy positions, making it extremely vulnerable to attack. Chinese forces launched massive assaults using artillery, mortars, and waves of infantry, overwhelming the defenders with relentless pressure. The Borinqueneers were ordered to hold the hill despite being heavily outnumbered and exposed. Communication problems, lack of support, and constant bombardment made the situation nearly impossible. Many fought hand-to-hand and stayed in position until ammunition ran low. But eventually the outpost was lost after brutal fighting. Instead of fully recognizing the impossible conditions, military leadership later criticized parts of the regiment, which contributed to the unfair reputation that followed them for years. And this is what you were talking about when they got out. What's the word? What's the word you gave me? Yeah.
They got what?
Court-martialed. There you go.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ.
For refusing orders, an official army investigation later vindicated the men, pointing to the language barriers, lack of training, and biased leadership. The army subsequently integrated the 65th Infantry with the Congressional troops in 1953. The legacy of honor. The motto of the 65th Regiment is honor of fidelis, honor and fidelity. The scale of their sacrifice is evident in the military decorations, which include the Medal of Honor, awarded to Master Sergeant Juan E. Negron, like you mentioned, 9 Distinguished Service Crosses, 256 Silver Stars, 606 Bronze Stars, 2,700 Purple Hearts. The modern recognition for decades, the sacrifices of the Borinqueneers went largely unrecognized by the broader public. However, recent years brought significant efforts to honor their memory. The Congressional Medal of Honor in 2014, President Barack Obama signed legislation awarding the Congressional Gold Medal, the highest civilian award bestowed by Congress, to the Borinqueneers, making them the first Hispanic unit to receive it. The National Borinqueneers Day, which is on April 13th in 2021, the U.S. Congress officially designated April 13th as the National Borinqueneers Day to permanently honor the regiment's service and contributions to American histories. Nice. And ask a Puerto Rican what day it is, they won't be able to tell you.
No.
And what?
It just passed.
Literally just passed. And the question is, should we be proud?
We should.
I mean, shoot.
What we should do, we should definitely bring this kind of stuff to the forefront. So on days like this, like, what is it, April 13th?
April 13th.
We should at least post something on social media saying, hey, shout out.
Shout out to the our ancestors for hooking it up and keeping it real.
Yep. Maybe post one of these clips.
Yeah, word.
Yeah.
That's what sucks. It sucks because we know that the camaraderie that they're talking about, because, you know, you stick to your own kind. You know what I mean? And even though it's a country that took us over and we were conquered, you know, it's still me and you. Like, we're brothers and sisters in this in this conflict. So, you know, despite the fact that we're stuck in this situation, I'm not going to let you go down. Yeah. And I know you got my back. And I think that we as Puerto Ricans should have their back in like you said, in honoring and remembering them. And it sucks that we don't pass it along because, yeah, we're not, many of us are not proud to be American. We're proud Puerto Ricans. I don't know. I can't change the past, so why not honor it?
Yeah. But I think what I was saying before is I blame the parents for not thing. That's us now. We're the parents.
Word.
So now, you know, maybe we made a mistake in the past, but we can fix that now. And, you know, teach our kids and teach other people. And that's what this is right here. You know, us bringing it to the forefront, putting it out there. You know, we're going to put this episode on a Memorial Day to honor... Well, Veterans Day, is it?
Memorial Day. It's going to be Memorial Day.
So, you know, a memorial for, you know, across the country, they're going to be honoring American
soldiers.
Soldiers.
Military.
And that's what we're doing, too.
That's what we're... Exactly. So, yeah. we're taking charge. Some honorable, really honorable mentions as far as... Puerto Rican service to the military. Over 65,000 Puerto Ricans served in World War II. Most notably, the 56th Regiment, right? Known as the Borinqueneers, defending the Panama Canal and fighting the European in the European theater. Key individuals include Lieutenant General Pedro del Valle, first Hispanic Marine Corps General who led the 1st Marine Division in the Battle of Okinawa, Captain Maria Rodriguez Denton, the first Puerto Rican woman to become an officer in the U.S. Navy, established the Puerto Rican National Guard to help protect the land during the war. Yeah, just wanted to mention those two people. They came up in my my little search. And today we continue serving, but it's like you said, it's not about I agree with you that there's this less sense of pride of being an American and serving in America for America versus being getting a job and finding a way out in this chaotic, you know, system.
I mean, if the boarding committee still existed today, when you joined the army, you would request it, right? People would be like, put me there. I want to be part of that group. I want to be part of this legacy. I want to have the badge or whatever it is when I retire. Like,
so you're saying they should bring them back?
Yeah.
If you signed up, yeah, and you're Puerto Rican.
That's probably why they took it away.
Well, that president, what was his name? Eisenhower was like, nah, we can't segregate people based on race.
Because but I get picture with them with the flag in Korea. They were like, we're Americans. We can't have that.
We can't have that.
Yeah.
Yeah, we can't have that.
We can't have that.
Then you're going to rise up and try to be free.
You're like infiltrating our army. We can't have that. You have to integrate you with the rest of us.
Mm. But at the flip side of that, it's like you said, if I'm 18 years old and 21 years old, whatever the age is, 18, and I'm going to go this path, and I had the option of joining this Puerto Rican group of people, like, I'm in there. Yeah, I'm Puerto Rican there. Like, I'll serve, but I get to serve with someone who's going to be like, Tafanio!
Yeah, exactly.
You know, like, I'm going to stick to what I know.
I could carry this legacy.
Yeah, but it's like you said, it'd be, oh, we're Puerto Ricans that fought for America versus we're Americans that fought for America. Exactly. Yeah. That sucks. Well, listen, it's that time of, it's not just barbecuing. It's not just barbecuing, having a good time and a good weekend getaway. It's also remembering those people that made this all possible and that continue to make this all possible. Yeah. So shout out to those people out there doing the thing.
And you guys listening, if you have family members that were in it, the Borinqueneers, leave us a comment. Let us know.
Even better, put a picture up of them.
Yeah.
You know, in their service.
Tag us on Instagram or something.
Yeah, word. You know? They gotta be pictures, bro.
They gotta be, yeah.
There's gotta be pictures where it's like, you know what? Make it less about which country and the history and the details. Make it more about that individual and their efforts to do the thing, whether it was voluntary or not.
Hashtag was trended, hopefully. You know? If you got pictures or whatever, I'll put something on Instagram that day.
I have I wonder if I could find it, but there was a picture of my father's father who he didn't meet, who died in the war. I can't even tell you which war, but I remember seeing the picture. So I'm going to do a little research myself. Guys, do the same. You already know what time it is. We out of here. Peace.